So we just settled a case for $2.25 million, and our client walked away with over $1 million net. On this episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast, I'm going to sit with our chief litigation counsel, Mr. Jason Slate, and we're just going to talk about this case, what the client went through, what strategies we put in place, and how we genuinely believe we are changing lives through the practice of law. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dude, let's go straight into it, man.
Changing lives.
Changing lives.
That's what I think I told you, and it's what I definitely told this client when we got the final offer in mediation, is that, hey, are you ready for your life to be changed? Because you're going to walk away with over $1 million in your pocket, which is powerful, you know. Our client, she is definitely the kind of person that you want to help. You know, we are in a business as personal injury attorneys of serving other people, serving our clients. But it is so rewarding when you have an opportunity to serve a client who has made it a point in their life to serve other people. And with her, she was a nurse. She cared about, she cared for and loved and really cherished taking care of elderly people, young children, everybody else that she came across in her pathway through the hospital every day. And that was all taken from her in 1 second on the interstate because we had a commercial truck driver not paying attention, not following, you know, the regulations that are put in place to protect the general safety of everybody on the highway and just driving to the back of her. You know, she's still dealing with injuries, and you're going to see that a lot of times in cases like this.
How long did it take from the moment she signed up with us to the moment we actually handed her the check?
It was less than, it was less than a year and a half. I mean, definitely less than a year and a half.
I think it was right at 15 months.
I think so,
From settlement to actual check. And that's kind of crazy to think that we were able to bring a client over $1 million in the course of 15 months. And this was net to her pocket. What do you think were some of the strategies, if there's any lawyers that are listening or any clients that are out there listening that have been involved in accidents, what are some of the things that we did to make sure this client is set up in the best possible way? And obviously, I want to keep the your mediation story till the very end.
Sure,
because obviously that's something that I think is a personal element.
Sure.
But like, let's talk about the early stages. What are some things that we did that like set this up for perfection?
Well, I mean, to be quite frank, the first thing that we did is we made sure that she was seeing the right doctors.
Right.
And that's so important. This is a client that was dealing with a traumatic brain injury. Client was experiencing lower back pain with that was radiating down into her legs, both legs. She was having neck pain that was radiating down to her arm with associated numbness, tingling. So we made sure that she had, you know, the actual full four corners of care and treatment that she needed. You know, she was able to get into a neurologist so that we could diagnose that she had a traumatic brain injury. We were able to get her into an orthopedic specialist and get the MRIs very early and very close in proximity to the actual wreck itself so that we could show objectively the injuries that she has sustained to her back.
What does that mean? You said she's got radiating pain going down her arms and legs. What does that usually mean?
Shooting pain, it means that she's got a herniated disc that's rubbing on the nerves. It's not something that's going to be able to be taken care of through chiropractic or through physical therapy. That's something you've got to go fix the cause of that, and that's usually going to mean it's a surgical case, right?
You know, in handling so many personal injury cases, I've realized that people don't get crippled from the back pain that they experience, because at some point you learn how to live with it. People really suffer from the lingering pains going down their arms and their legs, obviously their extremities, and they when they start experiencing weakness. And so we always look for clients that after an accident, they say, I'm feeling numbness or tingling going down my arms or my legs. And that means usually one of two things. One, which Jason said, is they have a herniated disc and there's some sort of impingement on their nerve root. So if it's in their neck and their cervical spine, that disc, which happens to protrude or extrude as a result of that whiplash or that immediate post-traumatic incident, it presses on the nerve root. So their nerves, which is basically controlling every part of your nervous system in your body, it's going to manifest itself in other areas. So you get a herniated disc in your neck that's touching the nerves, you might feel your ring finger or pinky going numb. So when someone says, I have this shooting pain down my arms or my legs, it's if it's in their arms, we're thinking there's a herniated disc in your neck. If it's in your legs, there's a herniated disc in your back. So it's either a serious disc injury or it's a muscle injury that's masking the pain and emulating the pain of a herniated disc. Either way, you're going to need some injections. You're going to need some sort of treatment to figure out what the root cause is. Most of the time, you'll get a trigger point injection in the muscular structure to see if that's enough to loosen up, you know, that inflammation and that spasm. And if that doesn't work, they'll usually get an MRI done, and that's when we found out that she did, in fact, have a herniated disc.
And the thing about that, too, we see a lot of clients that when they have a herniated disc and that diagnosis come back, MRI is positive for the herniation, that's something that's wrong with their body and their anatomy that is causing the symptoms they're experiencing, the pain, right?
But right.
You can't fix that typically without some sort of a surgical intervention.
Right. There needs to be some sort of invasive treatment.
Right.
And this is exactly where people mess up.
Yeah, because people think that, hey, I'm just going to treat with a chiropractor and this is going to get better. Well, look, while you can get relief from a chiropractor, or you can get relief from physical therapy or from taking opiate pain medication or whatever, really what you're doing is you're just masking the symptoms. You're not addressing the cause of the pain. And that's why, you know, the medical care is so important. We need to make sure that it's evaluated properly and that, you know, our client is given a range of options, right? From least invasive to, you know, more invasive depending on the severity of the injury.
And you know, that's kind of like, it goes back to that saying, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Sure.
When you're a trial attorney, everything looks like a case that needs to be tried. When you're a pre-litigation attorney, everything looks like it needs to get settled. When you're a surgeon, everything looks operable. When you're a chiropractor, everything can be popped into place. So you have to understand where your skills end and where someone else's start. And I think this is why this was such a beautiful case, because my team built up the pre-litigation side of it.
Exactly.
We made sure the client got the MRIs done. We made sure they were getting taken care of with their property damage, all sorts of things. But then we sent a demand for $1 million on this case.
We did.
And what did the insurance company say?
Well, they came back and they said, no, we're not going to give you $1 million.
They literally texted me a middle finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But seriously, they rejected a demand for $1 million. And most of the time, I think they came back with a $200,000 offer or something. Most lawyers would have negotiated and taken whatever money was on the table. That $200,000, $300,000 offer, that's nothing. We got 10 times that much for our client, ended up making her a millionaire. Why? Because you reviewed the file, you drafted a lawsuit, went through discovery, and quickly realized this person is likable, they're trustworthy, and they're actually hurt.
That's correct. And, we get to really hold people's feet to the fire when we put them south of the V in a lawsuit, you know? And so that was one of the things that I felt like was very important in this case. When we took a look at the incident itself, when we took a look at the way that this wreck happened, was determining who our defendants were going to be. Because, I mean, I thought that was a very big part of the case. So luckily, we're in Georgia. We have a direct action statute that allows us to include insurance companies as defendants in the lawsuit. So normally in a regular case, you know, the jury would not know that there's insurance involved. We're prohibited from talking about it in court. But in cases that involve, you know, commercial vehicles, tractor trailer wrecks, interstate or intrastate carriers of goods, just think trucking companies.
Right.
We're allowed to go ahead and we're allowed to bring those insurance companies into it. So, I mean, I think that was a strong element of it. But the biggest thing to me in determining the defendants is that this was a three-vehicle collision. Our client was in the front car, and there were two commercial vehicles that were involved in the prior collision, and the middle commercial vehicle was pushing the rear of our client's car. And it's arguable, from taking a look at the police report and the evidence that was available at the time that we drafted this lawsuit, that perhaps one of those defendants was a little bit more at fault than the other one.
Yeah, those are so difficult. Those cases are so tough.
Well, if you know me and the way that I've been filing lawsuits my whole career, it's easier to let somebody out of a lawsuit than to bring them in. So I kind of have a sue them all and let God sort it out kind of approach to drafting lawsuits. And that's what I did in this case. And because of that, we were able to get an extremely good venue for this this lawsuit to go forward. We were able to proceed in DeKalb County, which is just a fantastic for being in Georgia. It's obviously one of the best, most liberal venues that we have in the state. And then, you know, from that point forward, you know, it was just heavy duty discovery. You know, we want driver qualification files from everybody. We want, we want to get copies of just everything that they had, everything that was going on. I want driver's logs, you know, everything that you're going to do to build up a trucking case so that you can verify all that stuff. I think honestly, though, when you really get down to it, at the end of the day, they knew that they were in the wrong.
Yeah.
And they knew that our client, as sweet as she was and as good of a person as she was and as badly hurt as she was going to present very well in a very favorable county. And for that reason, this is one that, you know, we ended up going to mediation on and ended up being resolved. So
what was their top offer at mediation? And because we went from a $200,000 offer to well over their policy limits of $1 million. And you got an offer, a ridiculously strong offer at mediation, but you took a stance and you said, this is what's going to happen. Here's what I'm going to do. Walk us through that story, because when you told me, it gave me chills.
So, I mean, we were at a point in mediation. We're actually playing with brackets. I mean, I think every practicing attorney knows when you're mediating a case, you're ultimately going to end up in a bracket game. And we were actually able to find out that there was some additional coverage over and above the $1 million that they had. So, you know, we got to a point where they kind of intimated the entire mediation that they were not consider putting seven figures on this case. They basically were, every move was trying to pull me down into a range where the case is going to settle somewhere in the six-figure cases, which is six-figure range, which I just absolutely did not agree with. I mean, like I said, I loved our client. There was no liability problem as far as our client was concerned, no comparative fault, you know, and she's just such a great person in a great venue. I knew that that wasn't going to be the issue.
Right.
I mean, really the gamble is, you know, are the medical bills, you know, is that going to be sufficient, you know, are they going to be able to be successful with any of that stuff? But, you know, so we got to a point where they finally made a move that suggested that they may be willing to pay somewhere in the range of like $1 million, 1.1, something like that. And it was basically, you've got to come down here or this is not going to happen. And, you know, basically at that point, I had to share with them that I wasn't going to do that. And that I had a certain amount that I was willing to settle this case for. It was up over $2 million. And they had to come to a certain amount for us to continue negotiating with them. And that there's a certain amount that, you know, we would accept that we didn't want to come down off of, and that we're just going to draw a line in the sand, and if they didn't want to meet us, well, that's all well and fine. We'll see them in court, you know, but if they actually were negotiating with us in good faith, they would come there. And I explained to the mediator, and a defense counsel, I think, probably knew this because I'd had a couple of conversations with them the week leading up to this mediation, that this is a case that I took extremely personally, and that this is a client that I felt for and would be definitely willing to put everything I had into prosecuting this claim for them. And you know, because you were there, but it's special to me, and it's a unique experience to get to help somebody in this situation, because I just went through this situation with my daughter. She's involved in a bad car wreck and, you know, sustained a traumatic brain injury and a spinal injury. And, you know, we spent a long time in the hospital. And, you know, unfortunately, in that case, it's a situation where they're just, there's not enough insurance coverage, you know, to take care of things. Thank God we have health insurance and things like that. They're another story that I'm dealing with, right?
Right.
But, you know, and they're not perfect either. But, you know, it's a situation where there was something very personal to me that was going on that affected the way that I felt about my client and about the strength of her case. And it almost became a proxy battle for me, if you will.
Yeah.
And I told them that. I said, look, I got offended and where they were, and I said that they needed to come to reality, and that I know how just out of the realm of reality their number was, and that they needed to readjust it, and that I would fight for it, and there was a reason I was going to fight for it, and you know, it would be because I might not have been able to get somebody else to pay, but I'm going to be able to get them to pay, and I think that resounded with them because the case settled pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, so, yeah, man. Know. So you took it personally.
I did take it personally. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people say you should not take things personal in business. And obviously, as professionals, we have to make decisions for our company, for our clients, for our team members. But sometimes you do need to take things personally. When you care about something so deeply, you do have to take it personally. If you think this client's getting taken advantage of from an insurance company,
yep,
and you say, I'm going to make it my personal vendetta against you, insurance company,
yep,
to make sure this doesn't happen to this client.
Absolutely.
Because in another opportunity, in another case, I would not have been able to do the same thing. I'm not going to let it go this time.
That's absolutely right.
That's what separates the good from the great.
I didn't want her to take the money.
Yeah, no, I know. You wanted to go to trial.
I did. I didn't want her to take the money. I was urging her not to, but the problem is when somebody's presented with, I think, a couple of commas.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going to...
Yeah, it's called the two-comma decision.
The two-comma decision that they're going to be, you know, making for them personally is a net to them. It becomes hard, and that's life-changing for a lot of people. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's our job to do the best we can to advocate on behalf of our clients, and then they get to make those decisions, right? And so she made the decision. She's happy about it. I'm happy for her. I don't think we could have had a nicer client. I don't think we could have had a more a client that is more happy with the result that she obtained from using our firm. So,
well, look, I think you mentioned everything except for one variable that doesn't exist in most law firms, and that's exceptional lawyering. I do think you have to take things personally if you want to become an exceptional lawyer. You have to take it personal that your client's being taken advantage of, and you have the ability to change it. You have the ability to change this person's life. And I spoke with so many lawyers, because this is a microdisc case, right? There's a microdiscectomy procedure. Basically, it's a very common procedure. They go in, they do a half-inch incision, and they slice the end of the disc that's protruding to keep it from impinging on the nerve root, which keeps you from having that numbness, tingling, and weakness in your extremities. So the microdiscectomy procedure is a very common procedure. It's not like a fusion surgery or something that's requiring a complete hardware replacement. There's no screws, no bolts, no legitimate hardware. So most attorneys would have settled a microdiscectomy case for a couple hundred thousand, 200, 250, 300. If you're an aggressive lawyer, you might go for half a million. But in your mind, that was nothing. You not only wanted to settle the case for over $1 million, you wanted to make sure the client also walked away with over $1 million.
Yep.
So for the lawyers that are listening and for the aspiring litigators and trial attorneys, what is some takeaway that they can get from this episode on, if you really want to build value on your cases, here are some things that I've done, and maybe give them your contact information to shoot them your email, because I want people to have access to us and our awesome team.
For sure. So, I mean, what I would always say is that if you are truly trying to build value for your client, one, you have to be diligent in taking a look at all the variables that are going to go into setting the case up the right way from the very beginning. The venue determination was big on increasing the value for us in that case, making sure that we included all the necessary parties in the lawsuit so that we could get the venue that we wanted. You know, all of that, it adds to it. And then certainly you hit on it. You have to care about the case. You have to care about your client. And you have to be willing to go to the mat and fight for your client. If you're, you can't be one of these attorneys that basically goes through the motions and conducts a deposition and answers interrogatories and sends out documents and then, you know, sends out a demand and then just kind of whatever the top number is going to be at the end of the day, that's what we're going to shut down.
Ordinary lawyer.
That is ordinary lawyer. And what you have to do is you have to basically make it known that the only way you'll entertain any kind of negotiation with opposing counsel or with their carrier is if they're willing to come up into the realm that you want to be at. And I feel like we did that in this case. I feel like that ended up getting a good result for our client. Like I said, I still want to try that case.
Yeah, hey, there's plenty more opportunities.
I know.
But bottom line is, do the proper work to get your case in the right venue.
Work it up and give a damn.
Work it up and give a damn. I love it. That's from the cowboy lawyer.
From the cowboy lawyer. There you go.
We've been experimenting with maybe creating a brand for Jason because his stories and his litigation, like war stories, are awesome. And I'm like, we need to just have a good old cowboy lawyer.
Yeah, that could work. I don't know.
But for all those lawyers that are out in Dallas, they're probably not going to like it.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't. They'd be like, this is not a cowboy.
Well, look, guys, this is today's episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. It's in a different setting. We're actually one of the conference rooms at our office. Totally different setting, totally different energy, but this was an awesome story. I had to share it over lunch with our Chief Litigation Counsel, Jason Slate. Thank you all for tuning in. If you have any questions, you can shoot us an email at info@aliowadlaw.com. And if you want to reach out to Jason personally for any cases that you need help with, I wanted to make sure that his caseload is manageable to a point where he can help out, because we want to give back to the community.
For sure.
We've gotten blessed more than we deserve, and we want to give people this opportunity.
For sure.
As well.
And I'm happy to give my cell number out, actually, in this podcast. I mean, if you want to reach me by email, you can do it. It's Jason, Jason, at Ali Awad Law. And then also my cell phone number is 770-712-8655.
Awesome. You heard it here, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see y'all on the next one.